Welcome to the Strategic Investor. Join us as we interview some of the world's most productive asset managers and uncover sophisticated and unique investment strategies in the markets. Here is your host, Charlie Wright.
Hello and welcome to Strategic Investor Radio on OC Talk Radio, where we bring you investment strategies you are not hearing elsewhere. We'd like to welcome, as our guest today here in the studio, Greg Scambotti, Head of ESG Solutions at S Network Global Indexes. They publish over 200 indexes, which are used as foundations for ETFs throughout the world. They have over $6 billion in these indexes. Greg, welcome to Strategic Investor Radio.
Thank you, Charlie.
So, Greg, you came out of Columbia University. You've been in the investment industry for over two decades, and you've been focused now for some time on ESG solutions to corporate sustainability. So give us a brief background of yours and S Network to begin with, will you?
Sure, yeah. Well, you know, starting for me as a registered investment advisor some time back, I over time found that I wanted to take finance the step to the next level. And I didn't know that it would turn out to be something called ESG. But from a long time ago, there was something called socially responsible investing. And, you know, perhaps that's a distinction we can talk about a little later. The fact that you can invest in a company and actually do good while you are making money is very appealing, and it's a compelling story for those that are interested. So I was, after being a retail investment advisor, an RIA, I was working with a firm and helping companies with their corporate social responsibility. And when you take corporate social responsibility and finance, put them together, now you have the area of ESG investing or socially responsible investing. Now, that's a little bit about me. At S Network Global Indexes, I head up the ESG world, and that includes developing custom indexes for clients that include ESG indicators and criteria, as well as managing the products that we create, particularly those that are in partnership with Thomson Reuters, called one is the Thomson Reuters S Network ESG Best Practices Ratings, which is a rating scheme that covers 6,000 companies that Thomson Reuters analysts look at and give them all a score from 0 to 100. So an investment analyst advisor can look at those companies and get a sense of how they are in terms of their corporate responsibility as rated by ESG.
Okay, so Greg, ESG standing for Environmental, Social, and Governance. And so if I were to summarize what you guys do is you work with Thomson Reuters, and they have this team that evaluates through publicly available information the environmental, the social, and the governance efforts of each company, and they give them a score. And then your index identifies the ones with the 50% highest scores or 75%. They identify those with better scores, and then when other when people or other companies want to invest, they invest with this through this index where they have these higher scores. Is that basically what we're talking about?
Yeah, that's one approach to it. And indeed, you know, Thomson Reuters analysts, they have over 100, I understand, analysts, and they're looking for all this publicly available information that you mentioned. And then, you know, they provide us with that data, so we have a reliable, concrete data source in a global company. And then in conjunction with them, we created this rating scheme that I mentioned, providing the scores for these companies. So now we can take a look at all these 6,000 companies and, yes, to create indexes. And some indexes do take the best performing companies in terms of ESG and give them a higher weighting in an index, or exclude others that don't have a high, you know, a respectable rating in terms of ESG. But the indexes are usually created for clients in terms of their specific needs that could include other factors that perhaps are outside of the Thomson Reuters realm. But certainly, you know, indexes that that S Network Global Indexes has created do include these Thomson Reuters indicators exclusively.
So give us an example or two of a client and the kind of index that you created.
Yeah, well, we have been working just now, and we are still working with a client called New Day Impact Investing. Now, this is an organization or a firm that has developed an iOS app where you can, as a retail investor, go online, download the app, go online, and for a very small amount, so this is for, again, a retail investor, you know, invest in different types of themes. For example, the theme of gender equality, for which would you know, mean companies that are, you know, very sensitive to gender issues in terms of hiring women in management positions and in board representation, which are two very popular ways of looking at it. The other, and this is a an index that we created. Using a methodology collaboratively with New Day Impact Investing, and this index is uses a combination of data sources that they've provided, and we are now you know, happy to see this on their platform. Two other indexes are also on the platform as a result of our work, and one we've contributed to. One is a carbon, low carbon type of index. It's a little more, and this is a very intricate, you know, more intricate conversation about, you know, carbon footprint and fossil fuels. So I'll just leave it at that. Think about climate change and companies. Another one is animal welfare, and that's looking at companies that are, you know, nice to animals, and that's, again, a very broad way to describe it. And the last one would be companies that, I should say, ocean sustainability and fresh water. And I'd love to talk some more about that, but let me just keep my answer at that and see where you want to go next.
Okay, so I'm getting a picture here of what you guys do. So you create these little niche indexes that where a company then interested in helping others to invest in a particular way through ESG, they can take that niche and create an ETF from your index, and people can be comfortable and confident that they're properly focusing. Whereas the company itself, they may know how to market these things, but they don't really know how to create the index, which is your and Thomson Reuters' expertise. Is that basically the case?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, an index is you know, it's a passive investment vehicle in most cases and almost exclusively. And so you are taking a methodology, a rules-based methodology that's repeatable and it's transparent. Indexes are published, so indexes are not regulated today, but since they are published, you know, you can do things like show a back test of the companies in that index basket. And, you know, organizations that want to create, firms that want to create an ETF or an SMA or an other exchange-traded product or mutual fund, again, ETP, can use that index and buy the stocks represented by it, and there you have an investment.
So, Greg, you know, it's interesting. SRI, Socially Responsible Investing, started, what, probably three decades or so ago. And just recently, it has really started to blossom. We're talking now the end of June 2018. And just this last weekend, Barron's Magazine, which I have read for years religiously, on the front cover, they have Larry Fink of BlackRock, who kind of surprised the whole investment world recently with a letter to companies that BlackRock owns and telling them, hey, you need to have a social purpose. And this is, still has some degree of controversy here, but they had a special pullout section, half a dozen pages. They listed, by the way, several people who are the most famous people in the ESG arena. I didn't see your name there, but, you know, mine wasn't either, so we can console each other here. But ESG is really starting to take off. What are you seeing?
Yeah, without a doubt. And it's continuing to grow as a, you know, investment theme and certainly as an interest, both on the, you know, investor side and also in corporations. And indeed, you know, in some were taken aback a little bit by Larry Fink's letter because of his call for socially responsible investing, if that's not the exact words he used. But, you know, the point is that this is the largest asset owner in the world, and they are invested heavily in passive investments. And, you know, when he talks about shareholder engagement, there's an important reason for that as it relates to the investors, people holding those funds. And, you know, if you consider that, and I think, you know, it may have been mentioned that companies that, for example, have a risk of what's called the stranded asset, of losing an asset that is now producing for them. Think about an oil well that goes dry, or think about a beverage company that's using water as a, you know, that natural resource to create the beverages. If that goes dry, well, that's a big problem for the company. It's a financial risk. It's a business risk. And what leads to that potentially is, and science is showing that climate change and air issues with the environment are certainly affecting some of the availability of resources.
So, well, what do you see as the major misperceptions, Greg, that most investors and even advisors have about the ESG space?
We still have, there are still misperceptions that this is all about investing according to values. It is to a great extent, but it goes beyond that. And I think, you know, the way to dispel that is to understand ESG, and maybe this is a good time to start talking about some of the distinctions. Understand ESG as a financial tool. Very much quantitative, using numbers, that an investment analyst, that Wall Street uses to identify risk in a corporation. Now, if you take that definition, you can apply that to any type of investment, even the S&P 500, frankly. And there are indexes that take that approach, and S Network has one that takes that approach as well, looking at the top 500 companies and, you know, as you mentioned earlier, putting a weighting based upon some ESG values, their ESG values. But if you were to then compare that to what was called and is still called socially responsible investing, now you are. This is where you're taking a theme and investing to it. And that, as I said, it could be you know, ocean sustainability and water. But, you know, even looking at this closer, you can take your themes to be ethical values, religious values. You know, it's still an important approach to investing. And frankly, the you know, eliminating certain types of businesses from your portfolio is a very, very common approach to any type of investing. You know, think about the move of moving gun manufacturers out of portfolios. It's most recently very looked at very, very highly in terms of some of these large investment managers and should say endowments and such. That's just one example. So, you know, the distinction there between SRI and ESG is one that if you think about risk and ESG as risk, then it's not as much of that green tree-hugging, bunny-loving investment that we really had back in, you know, 20, 30 years ago.
Yeah. So tell us, let's talk about returns here. Okay, I mean, let's face it, these are investments, as you certainly know and told about all the time, I'm sure. So, you know, you take out tobacco, all right? Tobacco has been a very good returner for in investors, okay? I've never smoked in my life. My father died of cancer, okay, from tobacco. But, you know, I don't love tobacco companies, okay? But there is a case to be made, not that I'm making it or would make it, but that, you know, you invest for return. You know, alcohol companies, not today, but in the past, have been profitable, etc. And gambling companies, etc., which are typically the ones who are first on the list to get screened out. So what have they found about returns with companies in screening for ESG? Do people have to give up good returns in order to invest in ways that they would consider to be socially responsible?
Well, the answer is no, and there's strong research supporting that. Not only are returns at least as good as they are without an ESG type of overlay or integration into your portfolio, but in some cases you can look at this really as a way to minimize or mitigate some risk or reduce some risk. So a couple of examples. And let's just go back to tobacco for a moment, Charlie. You know, if yeah, sure, tobacco companies were successful. But if we looked at some years ago when the trend and the cultural and social changes in the United States were to stop smoking, you know, if we saw that as an ESG or social issue and invested along with that, then we would have been making some changes to our investment portfolio, our investments, because of, well, there are people, fewer people buying cigarettes. And so, you know, there's a sense where, you know, this type of an investing approach or awareness is, you know, a very good one in terms of the returns. You know, the other thing is looking at firms from a governance perspective. And if you just take a look at the G in ESG, this looks at several aspects of a company. Some of them are more of the along the lines of that social side, where a G indicator in the governance scoring would look at the number of women on the board. And the reason they're doing that is not so much because they are addressing a mandate. You know, having diverse opinions is in a boardroom is shown to have a positive effect in a company's decision making, and so that can go, in fact, beyond women. But I mean, if you look at the governance score, just this is now a classic example, and it's one anyone can relate to. The company Volkswagen, as you probably all know, was impacted hugely by its emissions scandal. Now, while we can say this was breaking the law, you know, the company lost a third of its value. But I looked at their G scores, and subsequently many others have as well. That is, their governance scores going back 7 years prior to the day of this scandal broke, and their governance scores were very low. And so there was an indicator there for someone who is incorporating an ESG approach to their portfolio, at least in analyzing it, whereas they may have eliminated that from their portfolio. In fact, because of that, Volkswagen was not in some of the indexes that we have calculated at S Network. And you know, there's a perfect example of how you can also you know, improve your outcomes by eliminating some of the negatives.
So, Greg, a question we'd like to ask is, what's the best advice you ever heard, read, or received about investing?
Well, I mean, you know, I think, you know, the old buy and hold is a strong, I think, and very, very relative type of advice today. And it, you know, comes directly from what Larry Fink is saying, as you mentioned, long-termism. And, you know, this also, and not only do you avoid the ups and downs of markets, and but you're also making a contribution, you know, potentially to you know, the long-termism of corporation, which could have impacts, positive impacts in society. So, you know, that's perhaps one of them.
Okay, well Greg, who are the clients, buyers of your indexes, and who is really moving in the direction of ESG investing these days? Is it just the big endowments? Are there more and more from retail investors? Are advisors coming on board? Who is getting on the ESG train here?
Yeah, to agree, you know, everyone is, and at different rates. So, from a retail advisor point of view, we talk all the time about millennial investor, those that are investing today and tomorrow, and those that will be inheriting wealth from the baby boomers, having an interest in this type of an investment theme. That is, aligning their values with their investments. And, of course, everyone wants to make sure that they can have a good retirement savings, and that there's positive growth, et cetera, and it's market comparative to the market. But now when you look at, you know, this is a good, this leads to the fund creators, ETF manufacturers, some of the large investment mutual fund companies, they're taking steps in that direction also. Now, it's true that assets aren't growing as quick as, you know, those who would like to, in the industry, in the ESG realm, would like to see them grow. And there are statistics showing that it's still a small part of the industry. You know, but what we are all aware of is that at some point, you know, the approach to taking a look at an investment with an ESG lens is just going to be integrated into the entire process. So right now, the opportunity is to get out, is to look for alpha by taking some of these skills and approaches before they are just integrated into the entire investment process. So across the board, whether you're talking about an ETF, mutual fund manufacturer, or retail investor, endowments are clearly still looking at this. Again, it's not overwhelming in all cases, but there's a good growth in all these areas.
Okay, Greg, a question we'd like to ask all of our guests. What keeps you awake at night?
Well, you know, if you're waiting for me to say that, you know, the world will exceed 2 degrees warming and we'll have tsunamis, and it's not that. So make that clear. You know, the one interesting, and this is one interesting professional area that I find, and you know, keeping me awake probably is, you know, not, I don't want to exaggerate this, but it is an important one, is the availability of some of the ESG data for some of these approaches, some of these interests. So you know, for example, the, you know, looking at animal welfare. And you know, what this means is, these are, you know, if you want to invest in companies that do not use animals for research, or are, you know, if they're a pet company, that they take care of their animals in a way that's both legal and kind, and if you're concerned about whether or not your meat products and dairy products are coming from stock that is, you know, heavily injected with antibiotics, for example, then, you know, that information is it's available historically, but no, it's, in some cases it's not available historically, and this is the issue. If you want to take an investment portfolio, an index, and backtest it, and be accurate in terms of how these companies were performing in relationship to these ESG areas, some that are a little more obscure or new, you know, you may not have that data going backwards, and it makes it difficult to really represent it, to publish an index that is representative of the past if the data wasn't there. So, again, not keeping you keeping me awake, certainly not, but it's one of those areas of professionally that we find very challenging, and I think it's a good answer.
So, for those who would like to know more, your website and contact information.
Yeah, the website is snglobalindexes.com. And what was your?
And any contact information? Somebody'd like, you know, a voice that is familiar here.
Yeah, sure. Greg Scambatti, and you can reach me at GSGAMBATI. At etsnetworkinc.com.
Okay.
We're in New York, near the Empire State Building.
Okay, thank you. So final words for our listeners here, Greg.
Yeah, final words. You know, this theme, you know, this is, we can consider this an alternative investment. And, you know, I mean, if you want. But I think what we're finding is that, you know, this will be an integrated, and is becoming an integrated part of an investment process. And I think that, you know, many people want to look at their portfolios and their retirement savings. And, you know, we certainly want to have, you know, the best return possible, market-based, compare it to a broad market benchmark, exceed that. But, you know, take a look at what you're doing and consider making some investments in, if you want to call it, this alternative area. You don't have to put everything in an ESG or SRI type of investment, But clearly, if you have some sensitivity here, look at it, talk to a professional, talk about the fact that you could, you know, potentially identify some opportunities. And, you know, if I can just say, opportunities are a part that really should have been, that I would, you know, would really like to have covered a little more. And for example, do I have a moment
Please,
here?
Please, go ahead.
Yeah. So, you know, opportunities could be, for if you look at fossil fuel companies, you know, fossil fuel reserves will expire, and again, leading to a stranded asset. People will be fewer drivers. People will Uber. We will have electric cars, and so if you're not looking at renewable energy and you're a fossil fuel producer, you're missing an opportunity. If you look at Volkswagen, Volkswagen's taking now a very big push into electric vehicles. And sure, they have reasons to do that from a public publicity, and not publicity, but from a reputational perspective. But I think it's a good business decision. And GE, even though it's just dropped out of the Dow, made its mark in these areas. So look for innovative opportunities. Make that a part of your portfolio. And don't be afraid of the ESG SRI theme in investing.
All right. Well, Greg, thank you very much for those words. And the environment, the social opportunities, and the governance of corporations, certainly important issues in the business world moving forward. So thank you for joining us today.
You're welcome, Charlie. Thank you. It's been a great pleasure.
Again, we've been talking with Greg Sgambati, head of ESG Solutions at S Network Global Indexes out of New York. He's been here with us here in the studio, which we always appreciate. You've been listening to Strategic Investor Radio on OC Talk Radio. You can contact us at info@strategicinvestorradio.com and go to our website to hear podcasts of all of our interviews and shows, strategicinvestorradio.com. Thank you for joining us. I'm Charlie Wright, wishing you an enjoyable week and productive investing.
Strategic Investor Radio is a production of OC Talk Radio and is provided for educational purposes only. Content of this program and the views of the guests should not be considered as recommendations by OC Talk Radio or investment advice from the host Charlie Wright or any other entity attached to this production. Investors should always consult qualified financial, investment, tax, or legal professionals prior to investing.